Join me in Colossians chapter 3 as we return to the study of the book of Colossians, Paul's writings to the church in Colossae. I'll be reading verses 1 and 2, and then moving to verse 22. We are continuing what I've been referring to as the ethical aspect of Paul's teaching, of how we are to conduct ourselves in the many different relationships we find ourselves in our lives. And that first relationship, of course, is Jesus Christ, and that is where we start today. So, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, hear the inerrant, inspired word of the living God. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Now, if you would, please join me in verse 22. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. I do pray that the Lord would add his blessing to the reading of his word. And as I said, we are continuing our study of these differing relationships. And I go back to the same starting point I have every time, because this is the foundation. All of our relationships are affected by this first relationship, and that is, of course, with Jesus Christ. Paul says, seek the things that are above. And again, as I said, this is directional. That we are to keep our eyes, we are to keep our minds, our thinking, our movements toward the things of Christ. We find in his word all these beautiful things of theology and discussion and teaching. And so we are to use that to set our minds, to set our direction toward Jesus Christ. And live a life in that direction. And then he says, set your minds on things that are above. And this is, again, as I've said, mental. This is the teaching. Salvation first is a knowledge. John writes in chapter 17 that knowing God is salvation. Knowing God is eternal life. So it begins in knowing. Fully knowing who Jesus Christ is. Fully knowing who the Holy Spirit is. Fully knowing as much as we can in this capacity who the Father is. And so we bring all these together and we build. The Holy Spirit builds this great foundation that affects every other aspect of our lives. Every other relationship we come into, we first are planted in Jesus Christ, and then I relate. The sequencing that he has used here, we first of all have this relationship with Jesus Christ, and we are to do certain things, but then he moves us into the church. The church relationship, the church dynamic. You and I, as we commune together, we are to encourage one another, not lie to one another. We are to have forgiveness for one for another. Paul writes in verse 12, put on then as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. These should be the hallmark characteristics of every person in this room if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. I gave you three words as we were talking about the church: unity, peace, and love. That identifies us. Unity, peace, and love. All on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And after the church, we moved into the home. Verse 18, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children. And this dynamic within the home, based on the foundation of Jesus Christ, we can do those things. As I said, we don't like that word submit. In our world, it has a portrayal of weakness or of defeat. That is certainly not the case here. Christianity is a submitting faith. We submit to Jesus Christ. We bend the knee to Jesus Christ. We submit to his teaching and to his ways. It is who we are. Jesus Christ himself submitted to the will of the Father going to the cross. And so we just simply follow in his footsteps, in his pattern, in his ways as we submit. And it is a partnership and equality wives submitting to husbands, husbands to wives, children to parents to children, et cetera, as we explained 2 weeks ago. Now, Paul makes another move. This time he goes into the bondservant-master relationship. This is out in the workplace. We moved out of the church, we moved out of the home, and now we and our relationships out in the workplace. Now, in context, in the first century, as the church in Colossae received this letter, that word bondservant is actually doulos, which means slave. In the Roman world of the first century, it is estimated that up to 30 to 50% of the population was in this slavery aspect. And so when Paul addresses the bondservant, he is addressing a huge population of people who are held under a master-slave relationship. Now, slavery has been in humanity's history, all its history. And these slaves were no different than many others. Many of them are captives of war. Some of them actually sold themselves into slavery because they simply could not afford to live on their own. They had to be cared for by another. So they sold themselves into slavery. Some of them owed debts they could not repay, so they came in as slaves to work off that debt, and then they were released. But here in that slave condition, in that slave aspect, Paul writes very clearly, obey in everything. Obey in everything. This is a tall charge. This is a very tall charge. You can remember the United States is a dark part of history. And the slaves of the United States, many of them were cared for and treated well, but by and large, most weren't. How do you think they responded when they heard this word? Slaves, obey your earthly master in everything. And do it not as eye service or people pleasing, but do it with great integrity. Do it with great consistency. He says, work heartily, and I'll get into that in just a few moments. Then down in chapter 4, verse 1, Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly. Again, slave owners back in those dark days of our history, how did they respond when they heard that? Some of them well, I hope. So first in context, this is speaking directly to that slave-master relationship that was so common in the first century Roman Empire. But how does that relate to us today? How does this language relate to us today? Well, given that the slave population in the Roman Empire was such a high number, and the Greek-Roman world thought that work was beneath them, they didn't work. If they owned slaves, they didn't work. This is the workforce. This is the common workforce of the day. So we bring this teaching here today to us. We look at it as in the common workforce dynamic. Anyone who is subordinate to another, or anyone who is supervisor, director, manager over another, this text speaks to us in all of those different forms. Also, if you extend it out into the non-work things, such as school, that's still an aspect of work. You're going to school to produce something, to gain something, an education, produce all the development, all the necessary things of schoolwork. So here, any kind of authority, subordinate relationship, Paul is addressing here. And so we need to bring this to our work, school dynamic here today. Bondservants. Employee, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Obey in everything. Not by way of eye service or people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart. I'm sure all of you, if you're not guilty yourself, maybe I have been myself. When the boss is around, you're just a little bit more particular in your work. Oh, the boss is coming, get to work. Paul says, no, no. That's people pleasing. That's eye service. Don't work in that aspect. Work heartily as fearing the Lord. See, here is the actual dynamic. Here is the actual teaching Paul is bringing to us. We work for an earthly master, but that is not our master. We work for someone who's in charge over us, but I am actually working for the Lord. Verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. This word, work heartily, it actually has nothing to do with heart at all. The Greek word means soul. So we are to work soulfully. Our very being is to be engaged, and we are to work from our soul, from our essence, from our character, and do it judiciously, wisely, competently, consistently. Because indeed, we are not working for the one who has authority over us. We're working for the Lord. This phrase, whatever you do, work. In the Greek language, this verb phrase is a continuously consistent action. So whatever you do, you do it. Whatever you work at it. Consistently. Dependably. Dependably in knowing what in all that you do, all the work that you do. He goes on, he says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You know, the paycheck is not the only reward you're going to get for a good job. It also says here, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done. So if we are not attentive in our work, if we are lazy in our work, if we are not judicious in our work, if we are not ethical, well, we need to hear that today. If we are not ethical in our work, then that wrongdoer will be paid back. And this goes both ways, masters. Those of you who own companies, those of you who are supervisors, those of you who have people reporting to you, treat your bondservants, treat your employees, treat your students fairly and justly. Why? Why? Why, Paul, are you encouraging us to do that? Three things I'll give you. And let me start by saying there are those who say that work, the Greeks believe this, that work is actually less or is demeaning, and that work is a result of sin. Go back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and the curse following their sin was that they would begin work, the toiling of their labor, that their labor, their work would become very unproductive and would cause great harm and would be a burden. But work actually was created by God. And work is a Christian ethic that's very valuable and very important. Through work, we understand value, responsibility, accountability, and other things that we could name. All of this is of God's creation. God worked 6 days in creating this. God is at work now. Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in the book of Acts, is holding all of this together, all of this creation together. He is working. And so work is not an aspect of sin. Now, our toiling and our lack of good productivity is an effect of sin. But work is actually a Christian ethic. And so as we work, and I ask, why is Paul giving us this? When we work, when we are productive, we are portraying the image of God. Because we are made in His image. And just as He worked in creation, we work. Now, He created out of nothing. We can't do that. But we create. You put two things together and create a third. We put different ingredients together in a recipe and create a cake. We are working, we are creating, and so when we work, we are bearing forth the image of God. We are portraying who we are. Secondly, in this idea of work, and working heartily, working with integrity and consistency, we are reflecting the nature of Jesus Christ to a fallen world. As a Christian, in the workplace, in the schoolyard, in the home, we should be the most ethical, law-abiding people in the entire workforce. They should look at us and know that we're Christians, knowing that you're not going to break the rules, you're not going to be late for work, you're not going to cut corners, you're not going to take advantage of anyone, but you're going to work fairly and justly. So we're reflecting the nature of Jesus Christ to a fallen world. Your workmate, without you ever telling them, your workmate, your classmate should know that you're a Christian by the conduct of your life, especially in the business world. Especially in the business world. Thirdly, your workplace, your school place, your home, where you work as keeping house, etc., it is your mission field. If you are reflecting Jesus Christ, then you will also have, we pray, opportunity to share the gospel. Why are you so different? Why don't you sit around and listen to the dirty jokes when they're told? Why don't you take 15 minutes extra for lunch like everybody else does? Why are you so different? Well, I'm a Christian. I work for the man upstairs. He always knows. So this idea that Paul is giving us is, first of all, on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and we are to be good, productive, dependable, consistent workers and managers and supervisors, because we are portraying Jesus Christ to the world. I ran across an illustration I'd like to share with you that I think just puts a nice bow on all of this. If you don't mind, I'm just going to read it straight to you. A seminary professor once told of his time on a flight where an obnoxious man was raising a stink about every minor grievance he could think of. Even though most people would have told the guy where the exit door was, each time the stewardess responded with kindness and grace. After watching this for some time, the professor called her over and complimented her on her good attitude with this difficult man. He asked for her name so he could commend her to the president of the airline. He was taken aback when the stewardess responded, "Thank you, sir, but I don't work for American Airlines." She looked like she worked for American Airlines. She had the uniform on and even had the little lapel with her name and American Airlines across the top. He asked, "You don't?" She said, "No, I work for Jesus Christ. American Airlines just pays the freight." Oh, that we could all have that attitude, especially in those times when we're treated so unfairly, so improperly. Wherever you work, if you see that you work primarily for Jesus Christ, the job, the school, the work, whatever you put your hand to, if we see ourselves working for Jesus Christ, then that job, work, school takes on an entirely new dignity and an entirely new meaning. And it should increase our productivity. Let's pray together. Father, we need this word, especially in the dynamic of our business ethics in many places around this country and around the world. But empower us, strengthen us to be that worker that works heartily, that whatever we do, we work heartily for the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that we are representing you to a fallen world. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.